The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with SuperValue Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
I'm guessing many of us regularly kind of dream of chucking in the 9-to-5 jobs to travel the world. Of course, very few of us actually do it. Johnny Ward is a young Irishman who's done just that. When I spoke to him from Brazzaville in the Republic of the Congo last week, on a less than average phone line, by the way, but bear with it, it's a great story. He began by telling me what he was actually doing there.
I'm on this ridiculous journey to every country in the world, Dave. So it's I'm compelled to come to these places. Actually, there's not so much to see and do in the Congo, but like I say, I'm trying to visit everywhere, so I've got no choice now. I'm near the end.
Hold on, let's start from a different angle here. What do you do, if you do anything at all, besides doing this, which sounds like a pastime? Do you work at anything?
I do indeed, yeah. So I'm 31 now, Dave, but as soon as I finished university, I moved to Asia to teach English. And then I travelled a little bit, and I always had this dream of trying to make money on the internet and all this. So I started a travel blog, worked out how to make money from advertising from that, and then started a media company. Now I own quite a lot of websites, a few hundred websites. So I manage a marketing company from my laptop as I travelled all these countries. And then I've got a team of guys also just based from their laptops. There's no office, and they maintain all the tech side and do the sales and everything. And I make sure they're doing their work in the evenings on the internet then.
So basically it's other people do the work. You're not exactly necessarily a 100% tech-savvy, information-age, technological wizard, are you?
I'm quite the opposite, I'm afraid. My grandmother's got more tech skills than I have. And I stumbled across a really good Filipino guy who ended up building my first website, and then that sort of struck a chord that I could outsource a lot of the work. So I'm more of the face of the company, and then the other guys do the technical stuff. No, I'm no tech genius at all. If I get locked out of Facebook, I'm struggling.
What's your family background? How did you get to the stage where you figure that, as you say in your blog, there was more to life than a 40-plus hour work week, a bland social calendar, and a 2-week break in the sun every year?
Well, I was born in Galway, Dave, down in the south, and then some family issues. We moved up north, just my mum, my sister, and myself. We didn't have too much money, but really happy childhood, but never had the money to be going to France or Spain, let alone like the richer kids off to Orlando or whatever. So I always had that desire to travel. From there, really, I went to university in England, and the day that I finished my last exam then in at university in England was a Thursday, and I finished in the evening, sort of 5 p.m., and the next morning, 7 a.m., I was off to the U.S. That was 2006, and I've never really lived in Ireland since then. It's been 9 years. Doing this madness.
Wow. So where did you go in 2006, which is nearly 10 years now at this stage of the game?
I used to do these work on summer camps. I don't know if you're aware of this program called Camp America. They send kids from Europe, students from Europe. You work the summer with disadvantaged kids, disabled kids. Really, really positive experience for a couple of months, and then you travel around the States for a couple of months on that same visa. So I did that, came back to Ireland, broke again. And from that point, actually, from the States, I knew that I wanted to travel a bit more long-term. But just with my mum not being able to give me any money for the sort of the rite of passage gap year that a lot of people are doing now, I needed to work out a way to fund it. So I came back from the States and I did 5 weeks in some medical research hospital in Belfast up north. And that paid me, I think, if I remember rightly, about 3,000 euros. And then I used that to sign up for an online English teaching qualification and a one-way flight to Thailand, and then had Christmas in Ireland. Then next month I was off and I've never really come back.
There is a bit of a goal in all this. I mean, you created your digital media company, Step Forward Media, or Step Forward Media, with the four being just the numeral four. That was a couple of years ago, or that back in 2012. And that kind of provides corporate blogging companies and manages the social media and all the rest. Now you work maybe 10, 15, 20 hours a week from the laptop anywhere on the planet. But one of the things you're doing here is you're slowly moving towards a goal, which I'm not even sure you had from the word go. But when you realised you had about 50 or 60 under your belt, you kind of said, hey, I'll go for this goal, which is to be the first Irish man to visit every country in the world, as far as you know every country in the world to be. Is that the way it is, yeah?
Pretty much exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, when I was broke, I was obsessed with reaching 100 countries by 30, which I managed. Now I'm 31, and I'm hoping, should the visas and everything work out okay, to finish every country then next year, next summer.
We're talking to you now, live in Brazzaville in the Congo, which is country number what at this stage of the game?
Number 155. A lot of people actually ask how many countries are there, and it's a pretty tricky one to answer.
It's about 200, is there?
I'm a football fan, so that's roughly the story. The United Nations say 193, so that's the list that I'm going off.
I was going for soccer teams, applying for the World Cup.
That was my quandary. FIFA or United Nations, and I was leaning towards FIFA, but it's a longer list, so I had to go for UN so I could actually manage to get the bloody thing finished.
Let's just say it's about 193 or thereabouts, and you're now at 155. You're doing very well. So, there's nothing official about this. It's not some kind of a human race as such. So, how long do you stay in each country to make it count, or does it matter?
Well, for me, there's a few guys who did it, a few American guys and an English guy who've done it, and they literally step foot in the country and then skip on, literally that, like pay the border guard a bribe, don't even get the visa for the country, take one foot in it, log the GPS and move on. And that's not really what I was interested in. Is I love the madness of these disgusting chicken buses and sitting on top of trains and all that. I'm addicted to all that malarkey, so... I've been doing it for 8 or 9 years. I probably average about 2 weeks per country.
About 2 weeks per country. What about dangerous places? Like, have you been to Burundi?
I was in Burundi just last month, and that was a bit terrifying, actually, because the week before I went, there was six people were shot on the street of the capital there. So when I go to places like that, I'd stay a lot less. That was actually the least time I've ever spent in the country. I was there for 2 days. I've been to a few dodgy places, to be honest. Somalia, but the north of it, Somaliland, not too bad. South Sudan, there's a big curfew on. There's a fair few sketchy countries in the world, but if you keep your wits about you, you should be okay.
Is it the overland trips that you like the best, or have you flown from NEA to B?
I've been doing it, like you say, almost a decade. The first 5 years, I was super broke, so I literally was. I joke about this chicken bus and cattle class, like across India and Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka. I'm literally in. They have first to third class, and then they have a fourth class where they keep the cargo and the poor locals, and I was riding in that for the first 5 years. So at that stage, I was never flying. I wasn't back in Ireland for 4 years, because if I could scramble together a couple of hundred euro, I thought, would I like to go back to Ireland? Yes, I would, but I would much prefer to fly to East Timor or Philippines, you know what I mean? So I just carry on. Now with business has changed a bit, I fly a lot more, especially now I'm in West Africa, right? But I'm doing basically Cape Town to Cairo, which, depending on the geography skills of the readers, is bottom left of Africa to top left of Africa.
Right.
So there's a lot of dodgy zone, Blood Diamond movie type places, and I try to fly over those if I'm going to be getting shot at.
What's your favourite thing about travelling?
It's the freedom, to be honest, Dave. It's knowing that, like, you can wake up in the morning and just fly to Brazil or fly to Thailand or go back home to see your family in Ireland. Just that absolute freedom, no one to ask what to do. You know, like, you don't have to worry about how many holidays you've got left in the year. You're just free to do whatever you want. And as long as you've got your laptop, you're good to go.
Okay, then, what's the toughest thing about the whole thing?
It's really unhealthy, I tell you that much. Eating airplane food, buses where you're skipping meals for 20 hours. And obviously, I get lonely a lot. When I'm in countries like... When I'm traveling through India, for example, or China, like in quite relatively mainstream countries, I have friends and family come and join me. But when I'm going from Equatorial Guinea to Sierra Leone, there's not so many people who want to join me. So I have these long periods where I'm on my own. It's quite lonely. And my language skills aren't really tip-top either, so I don't speak with another native English speaker for weeks on end sometimes.
Exactly, yeah.
So for sure it gets lonely.
Actually, if you're at 155 and you've only got about 40 or 50 more countries to go, let's just say you'll do it in the near future. So would you be slowing down a little bit maybe by next year once you realise that your goal has been reached?
If things go to plan, I'll finish next summer, for sure I will slow down. But at the moment I'm travelling 10 months a year, solid. Two nights, one night, three nights, one night, continue for 10 months. Like I'm 31 now. It's knackering my body out. So ideally in the future I'd like to... I own some property in Thailand now. I bought that once my company was doing a bit better. So I would like to spend 4 months in Thailand, then 4 months in Ireland, and then 4 months doing something... some travel type stuff. Like Nick, I think I might cycle from New York to San Francisco when I'm done.
Yeah, a lot of people would like to do that. All right, well, listen, what about the danger, by the way? I mean, I know I've hinted at it earlier on, but is there a lot of danger? You must have been in some situations where your heart was in your mouth.
Oh god, I've been in a few. I was in Madagascar about 5 weeks ago. I was only there for 7 days, and I got pickpocketed twice. I got arrested once. I had to pay the police to let me out. And we got stopped by bandits trying to steal our car coming across the country in 7 days, four incidents. But I've got a million and one stories like that. Was arrested in India, was arrested twice in one day in Ukraine.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure that you're not exactly doing a tour of the Four Seasons hotels of the world. So what kind of places do you actually stay in most of the time?
Well, again, the first 5 or 6 years, I was sleeping in bus stations and train stations in the cheapest place I could find, sharing rooms with anyone who would be willing to share the cost with me. Now, because I've got quite a lot of following on social media, on my Facebook, and my Twitter, and my Instagram, I get invited. A lot of hotels invite me.
So
that cuts my costs and allows me to step up the quality of accommodation too.
Just in terms of actually getting on with people, do you try very hard to meet the local people and get on with them?
I do, especially now towards the end. So the last sort of 60, 70 countries are pretty obscure. So my option is either don't talk to anyone ever or talk to the locals. I've got there's no tourists in these countries. You know, like in the Congo where I am now, there are no tourists. So taxi drivers are cool, bar staff. I was in Namibia last week, and again, I was on my own, and I was having a glass of wine in some restaurant about to go home, and the bar staff, it's their birthday, and I say to happy birthday, and 3 hours later, I'm in some African nightclub dancing to some music that I don't have a clue how to dance to, you know?
Yeah,
so it's quite nice.
Did I read that you made your first $1 million already while actually living, because of living this amazing life?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. About a few months ago, I hit that milestone, yeah, and so now it's worked out okay. But I still don't, nothing's really changed. The only thing that's really changed is if a flight was $60 and the bus was 40, I might take the flight now. But if the flight was 100 bucks and the bus was 40, I'm still in the bus. So like I still try to be careful with my budget, but I've invested a lot of that money as well, so it's not like I've got it on hand, but I can't complain about how things have gone.
It's bizarre that, like, for an idea that you did or didn't have that's now grown into what it is now and sprouted into this business that you are, not just that you have, but that you are on the road. It's pretty hard to be like, you were growing up in a single parent family in Ireland. There was nobody taught you how to do this. Nobody told you how to do this. It obviously can't really seem real. So do you just keep going even after this and possibly, you know, make more money with all the interest that you've got now in terms of the business and the blog, etc.?
Well, my lifestyle has always come first. So if there was an issue, like if I could go diving with great white sharks or whitewater rafting on the Nile, but I had a client who urgently needed something, the client is under no illusions that my lifestyle is always going to come first. And all my staff are the same. They're all on their laptops, and I would never begrudge them if they were doing something cool. So the money's not really the driver. But I'm a quite goal-oriented person, so it's nice to have the success in that the company is successful as much as your revenue per month or whatever. You know what I mean? It's nice to just feel that you've tried something and it's been successful in its own right.
Yeah.
So with my website, yeah, I want to grow that because it feels like I'm giving something back as opposed to just driving numbers every month. You know, like I've got a group of people who follow me and I can try to inspire them.
Yeah,
and also, coming from, like I say, coming from humble upbringing, it's nice for them to see that I'm not just some rich kid using daddy's credit card. So if I can do it, then
course,
hopefully they can see that they can do it too.
I mean, like, this might sound like a redundant question from what we've been talking about for the last 12, but where do you live?
I guess I live in Thailand. That's where I own my apartment. I bought an investment place in London, which is registered as well. So, but I'm on the road 10 months a year, so it's difficult to say where I live anywhere. In terms of like legal statuses and stuff, which I'm terrible with any of that legal administration, I'm awful. But I'm non-domicile anywhere because I don't spend 90 days anywhere per year. So I don't really live anywhere in a legal sense.
And by the way, look, the news from Bangkok has been pretty bad. Are you anywhere near where the bomb went off last week?
I live in the city centre, and it's literally right in the city centre. And the main street in the city there is called Sukhumvit, which is what I live on. So a lot of my friends heard it and they hear the sirens whining about it. It's really terrible. I despair sometimes. You know, people help me so much around the world, and then I get upbeat about the human nature, and then you hear something like that. And whether it's political or religious, I don't know what gain anyone can have from hurting innocent people. It's really unfortunate.
Indeed. Well, you are in the Republic of the Congo now, so where are you going to next, and where are you going to after that, and when are you going to finish?
Just before I spoke to you, I literally just booked a flight. I'm going to fly tomorrow at 7 a.m. to Gabon. Today, I'm constantly fighting with embassies for visas, because if you go to Spain or USA and you're from Ireland, like, you don't understand the problem that it is to get to these obscure countries, and it seems the more tin pot the government, the more bloody paperwork you have to do to get into the place. So today I had to bribe, I don't know if I should say this, but I had to bribe two West African countries that I'm going to in the next 2 months, 500
€1,000 for two visas, but I got them, so yeah. Now I can move on tomorrow morning.
Johnny, listen, I really do mean this, but congratulations. It's fantastic. You're doing something that so many people would absolutely love to do. And I should apologise to listeners, by the way, for the dodgy phone line that we've had throughout, but it was well worth hearing the story. Johnny, good luck and take it easy. Good man yourself.
Thank you very much, Dave. All the best.
Now, since I spoke with Johnny Ward last week, by the way, he's left the Republic of Congo. He's now in country number 158 on his journey, Equatorial Guinea, that is. And you can follow his progress visiting every country in the world on his website, onestepforward.com, or on Twitter at onestepforward. And that's one step four, the numeral four, not F-O-U-R.